The title is clunky, but the wine talk is smooth. You're listening to the Matt Talks Wine and Stuff with Interesting People podcast.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to the Matt Talks Wine and Stuff with Interesting People podcast. And this one is a very traditional interview and also something very different. I am joined by Vincent Fabre, the president of the Medoc Marathon and also an owner himself. Vincent, thank you so much for joining the podcast.
Nice to meet you, Matthew. And I hope your trainings are going well. And we are very excited to welcome you and your friends on the 2nd of September.
Yes. The training is going well. It's been about six years since I've done a marathon. I've done about six of them in my life, all of them under 4 hours. My best time is 3 hours and 29 minutes. But looking at what this marathon is all about, I'm not setting a personal best, am I?
No. Here, we are here to run a marathon for sure. You have to train. You are alone to run 42 kilometers, 26 miles, and nobody will help you. We're here we're to enjoy sport, to enjoy living, and to enjoy fun around the world of the wine and sport and music. I'm sure you will enjoy that very much. So no hurry here. Take your time. Enjoy the life. And just you have to run it within less than 6 hours and 30 minutes. You have some kind of car race, which is just pushing all the late runners. And if you are in front of the car, it's fine. If you are behind the car, you will be not classified. And so just be before the car. It will be fine. And enjoy the sightseeing.
I like how you said you won't be classified. What a Bordeaux way of describing it. What am I in store for? I thought originally that, oh, there's a little bit of oysters and champagne near the end of the race. Then I started doing my research and I was way off.
No champagne. You will just have to enjoy some middle points. That's it.
But don't worry. No. I'm not worried. What I want to know now is how many different vineyards are out there. What should I expect?
Actually, you will have the opportunity and the very rare chance to get inside of the private gardens of about 50 different chateaus and estates. So the wineries are open the doors, and you will be able to cross many of them and some big names. You know, you will be able to cross the gardens of Mouton Rothschild, Lafite Rothschild, Gruyon Larose, Bechevel, and Cosse Labori, and Menet, and Montrose, and many of them. And 50 of them. And you will be able to taste, taste. But this year you will have 22 wine stops on the top of the very classical orange juice, waters, and food, and so on. You will have 22 tasting stops at Lafite, Mouton, and Lange-Bage, and Grand Pulacos, Bechevel, Gruau, many of them. And plus, if you run until the 39th kilometer, then you will be able to enjoy some oysters. And at the 40th kilometer, you will be able to enjoy some entrecote, grilled on the, you know, vines, stock roots. And if you are running until the 41st kilometer, you will have some ice creams. And on the 42nd kilometer, then you will have some kind of a makeup stops just to look very nice and perfect condition to be able to cross the finish line at 300 meters away. So that sounds great for sure.
It's hilarious. Great. What a unique marathon. I wanted to hear more about your role. When did you get involved with the Medoc Marathon?
Actually, I run it. I'm a runner, a marathon runner, and I run it a couple of years ago. And so at the very beginning, I just started as a volunteer in this marathon, and I was helping the staff at the beer bar. You know, I was serving beer and entrecote and some food. And then after a couple of years, the board asked me to join the board. And so I get involved to the organization, because at the very beginning, I was just a volunteer, basic level. So then I get involved in the board. That's about 20 years ago. Then after some election and so on, they said, what about your position as a president? Does it sound to you? So I said, okay, why not? Maybe, okay, why not? Okay, I will do it, but just for 1 year. And that was 15 years ago. So
has anyone, or what's the fastest time you've ever seen for this marathon?
The fastest time has been done a couple of years ago by a Russian runner, 2 hours 20 minutes, 2 hours, wow. 18. 12 to 18 minutes, which is not that fast, actually. But because our marathon, even it's a very fancy wine where people are listening a lot of music, any kind you have this year, you will have some kind of 32 bands playing music along the track, any kind of bands, classic one, wine and folk and rock and roll and vocals. So all kind of music. And that's very nice. You have a lot of dust track. So that's quite about 60% of the distance is on dust track. And plus, on the top of that, you have a lot of hills. Medoc sounds flat for people, but when you run a marathon in Medoc, you said, no, Medoc is not flat. It's just going up and down all the time. So it's not very high hills. It's about 40 meters high, but you start from zero. So 40 meters up and down, up and down, up and down. After 20 miles or 25 miles, the situation is a little bit more complicated. And some years, by 2 p.m. or 3 p.m., when you are on Saint-Estèphe Appellation, when you are running on the gravels, with the sun on the top of you, it can be quite hot. And some years, yes, it's not as that easy marathon, actually. So, and for us, it's a little bit of a problem because a lot of people are coming here, and we do have many first runners, first marathon runners, some beginners running marathon, because they're coming here because the atmosphere is just unique, for sure. There is only one in the world like that. And so they say, oh, let's go over there. It's fun and so on. But from a sport point of view, it's not that easy. So for people who start running a marathon, if the training is not good enough, they will not complete the track because it will be too difficult. And even more when the temperature can get quite high. At that time of the year here, we can have some quite cool temperature, but some years, summer is still here, so we can get some kind of 30 degrees and over. So in Fahrenheit, that sounds around 95, something like that.
That's hot.
That's hot. When you are running on gravels, wet gravels, 95 degrees Fahrenheit on top of you, no shade, you need to drink a lot of water, for sure.
Yes, water as well, not just wine. Also try to...
Oh, for sure, yes.
Yes, get in a little bit of water. But if someone ran the marathon in under 2 hours and 20 minutes, clearly they were not sampling some of the best of Bordeaux.
Actually, the winners are running for the males. They're running at 2:22 to 2:25, and for the feminine runners, they're running at 2:40 to 2:45.
I want to bounce around a little bit. I was wondering if you could tell people a little bit of some of the estates that you own, some of the wineries that you're a part of.
Our family is owning different estates in the Medoc area. So we are producing some wine in Appellation Medoc and Haut Medoc and Margaux also. We do have an estate in Margaux. So our brands are Chateau Lamotte Sissac from Haut Medoc, which is very close from Pauillac, about 4 miles away from Pauillac. Our neighbors going eastbound as a vineyard of Lafite Rothschild and Mouton Rothschild, about 2 kilometers away from our estate, so very close. And we do have also an estate in Margaux Appellation, so one of the four top appellations in Bordeaux area, which is Chateau Bellevue de Taillac, nice view from Taillac. All our wines are blended, mostly Cabernet Sauvignon, Merlot, and Petit Verdot. They are aging in oak barrels, 1 year, and estate bottle. And we are selling our wines direct from our estates, 80% to the exportation. Our main markets are China, the States, Denmark too. We're very strong in Denmark. And we are exporting also into Canada. We have two importers over there, which are working nicely.
Oh, nice. By the way, I was looking on the website. And did I see a rosé as part of your collection?
Yes, we have a rosé and we have some whites, a small production. And we is some kind of, evolution of the consumption is pushing us to move a little bit and to propose some new brands as a white wine, rosé wines, and also some new blends. We have, for example, 100% pure Merlot, no barrel aging, with a very fancy label. And we call this range Rebels, Rebels from Fabre. So that's a clan de Fabre. We do have also 100% Malbec, no barrel aging with a very fancy label. And another third one is 100% Cabs, no barrel aging without sulfite added. And with also wild Fabre with very fancy label. So this kind of wines are, it's about 6 p.m. on Friday night.
Right.
Weekend is coming. Just enjoy a nice glass of wine. Not a big deal, but just enjoy a nice glass, fair price, and have a good time with some friends.
You were mentioning about some of the changes you're making because of different consumer trends. I was wondering how different is it now versus 10, 20 years ago in terms of what people, how they view and what they want to drink from Bordeaux?
Actually, let's say 20 years ago to make a larger scale, 20 years ago, anybody in the world, any company in the world working in the wine business should have some Bordeaux wines in their wine list. And they should have, it was a kind of almost compulsory to have Red Bank wines, Slave Bank wines, AOC Bordeaux, basic wine, and so on. So they should have, let's say, about 10, minimum 10 different Bordeaux wines. Nowadays, you have some companies which are working very nicely and they have absolutely zero Bordeaux wines on their wine list. Because the production is now worldwide and the quality of the production all over the world did improve a lot everywhere in the world. So nowadays, if you are producing a bad wine, just no way to sell it. The market is not asking for that. The competition is very tough. And the young generation, so Bordeaux wine is producing some nice classic. And nowadays, all the young generation are coming from the beers, are coming from beer consumption, they're coming from spirits consumption. And the way they enjoy the wine has nothing to do with the very classic way that you have to know about appellation, you have to know about the grapes, varietals, and so on. No, all these young generation are coming to the wine consumption by the beer just to enjoy a nice time with a nice beverage. With a fancy label, that's it. And they will take care about the fancy label. They will take care about the pleasure that they will enjoy drinking the wine than to learn more about where it has been made, which kind of varietals are used, which kind of grapes, how the wine making and so on. So they will get into the wine consumption by that door. And later on, after some years of wine consumption, that way, maybe they will start to want to learn more about the wine consumption, where it has been made in Europe, in new countries, maybe in Canada. So you have some nice wineries over there. So they will start to learn a little bit more. And so smoothly, they will arrive to the fact that you have many different countries producing the wine. The two oldest wine producing wine in the world are Italy and France. And in France, you have main areas where many native lands of the big varietals are coming from France. So if you speak Pinot Noir or Chardonnay, it's Burgundy. If you speak Cabernet Sauvignon or Merlot, it's Bordeaux, and so on. So smoothly, people will learn more about wine, and whether we start to understand what about terroir, what the French notion of terroir, which is a very specific balance between the source, the climate, and the know-how of the wine grower, the way to make the wine. So they will start to want to learn more. But at the very beginning, all this young generation, they just want to enjoy a nice glass of wine, that's it.
Yeah.
With a fancy level.
And I think what's important, it's something I've talked about with other Bordeaux producers, is to tell people, and especially younger people, don't be afraid of Bordeaux. Bordeaux it's not just a bottle of wine that costs as much as a car, that there is all these different levels, and you can find good Bordeaux at a reasonable price. And I think it's something that's important to communicate with wine drinkers who might get scared off because they see a giant chateau and they see the word Latour and bottle from 2005 is 500 euro and then everyone runs away. I think it's important to try to get people back and make them realize that there are so many different levels of Bordeaux.
Exactly. And what makes Bordeaux complicated for beginners is that Bordeaux is a unique region in the world which is able to produce in very large quantities any kind of wine, white wine, dry white wine, medium sweet white wine, sweet white, rosé, light rosé, sweet rosé, light red Bordeaux, medium strong Bordeaux, tannic, very strong Bordeaux. The very high class wine you were speaking about, the classified growth, you know. But this kind of wine represents only 4% of the production of Bordeaux, only 4%. Very. Yeah. Everybody is talking about them, but they are fantastic wines. They are fantastic estates, very nice, and they are doing a great job. But the production is very small. They are selling the wine very expensively, for sure. But 96% of the production of Bordeaux has nothing to do with that. You know, like I told you earlier, Lafite Rothschild, Mouton Rothschild, 2 kilometers away from here. But I can tell you, we are living in different world. Nothing to do. Nothing to do.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. They're not making a rosé. Before I get back to the marathon, the one other thing I wanted to talk about is, I think one area that's not represented enough, certainly here in Ontario, is white Bordeaux. I notice at our LCBO, we don't get very much of it. And, you know, I got a chance, I was at a Bordeaux dinner recently and tried a couple of great white Bordeaux that were only around $40 Canadian and just beautiful and full bodied. And I was wondering just if you could talk about your white Bordeaux and just white Bordeaux in general, why people should be trying it.
Well, what is amazing about the whites is that between the two world wars, so in the 90s, 20s, 1930s, people were drinking at that time white wines, mostly white wines and medium sweet white wines. So Entre-deux-Mers was very efficient by the time, Médoc not that efficient because they were producing red wine. And Bordeaux by that time was producing 65% of white wines. Medium sweet white wines, you know. And nowadays, Bordeaux is producing 80% of reds some days years ago. And now, for sure, because the market did change a lot after the Second World War II, so the change of the Bordeaux production sweet towards red wines. Nowadays, you have some kind of way back, and people are producing more rosé and whites. And for the whites, you have two, I would say, choice. Either you are producing some classic, quite full-body, barrel-aged white wine, which are very nice, and the one you were speaking about, but also you have some very nice, fruity, easy-drinking white wine, Sauvignon-based, which are just around here, 6-7 euro per bottle, and we are very fresh, no barrel-aging, and very spectacular on the nose, and we are working on that target. We will produce some easy drinking white wine, very fruity, and but no barrel aging on purpose. Because as soon as you pour some wine into the barrels, you need some tannins. You need to make a strong wine to have a nice balance between the oak taste and the fruitiness of the wine. So we don't want that. We want just to make, because of the target of the young generation, to make a very fruity, easy drinking wine with a very fair price and a price for value very attractive. And nowadays, the white production for Bordeaux is increasing. Actually, the white market is lacking of production. So you have many hectares which are producing. But you know, in our job, when you have an idea, okay, you plant some vines, during 3 years, you have no crop. So we have to wait about 4 or 5 years to start the first thing of the crops. You have to have a full production, you need 5-6 years. And to be able to get very nice fruit, you need to wait, let's say, 8-10 years. So you have a fantastic idea, for example, this year, 2023. And okay, you will have the answer in 2033. You know? So we are working on the very long-term view. And for me, for example, my everyday work is always based on long-term view and has the president of the marathon. It's a show, you know, it's just the opposite way, you know, 2-3 weeks before the marathon, the weekend of the marathon, you have absolutely nothing. 10 days later, you have nothing. But within those 5 weeks.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And that's coming. It's coming soon. I wanted to ask what can spectators of the marathon, what can they expect? Because my girlfriend's coming. They want to root and cheer me on. They were wondering how it works. So for the spectators of the Médoc Marathon, what do they need to know?
What the runners are telling us, the feedback of the runners, is that here in Médoc Marathon, what is just fantastic is that all over there is 42 kilometers of the track, you will have spectators which are just applause the runners and helping them to run. And it's just fantastic. It's just incredible, the crowd, which is there. Some years ago, you know, we were with the sponsors and so on. Very often we were asked, so how many people are coming and how many people are in the area just enjoying the park? So we were speaking about, oh, let's say 20,000-30,000 people. Some very optimistic member of our team were speaking about, oh, let's say 50,000. We were telling 50,000 people, you know, just to remember that the population of the Medoc area is 90,000 people, 90,000, 100,000 people all together, you know, the whole triangle. And so we decided to have some survey and official survey made by there's a sales phone company, you know, it's a big brother, it's like Big Brother. So they are looking what's going on in the area. So we asked them to look what kind of people were coming in the Medoc area 1 month before and 1 month after. The feedback they had and the official reviews they sent us was that during that weekend, in fact, it is 90,000 people who are coming in the Medoc area. So the population is just double during that weekend. It's just incredible. And most of the people are coming and they will spend 2-3 days in the Bordeaux area, mostly in the Medoc, but some of them will go like you, for example. They will go maybe spend 1 day in Bordeaux, which is a very fantastic city with the biggest 18th century stone buildings, downtown city. It's just fantastic.
It's beautiful.
And people will go to Saint-Emilion. Some of them will go to the beach on Bassin d'Arcachon, which is a fantastic bay. So they will just enjoy our atmosphere and the way of life we are having here. And the very classic period tourist, I would say, trip will be to spend 1-2 days before or 1-2 days after, and indeed enjoy the very special Saturday. A little bit exhausting, but fantastic.
Oh, I can't wait. My goal is to get in on Friday, do very little, do the race, and then we're going to spend 3 days after the marathon just touring around. What advice would you give to spectators? Like, is there somewhere you think they should stand? Is there, like, what's the best way for a spectator to enjoy the marathon?
To enjoy, you have to enjoy the time before the start. It's a crowd of 8,500 runners because we do limit at mm-hmm. that level, because over that we do know it will not be possible, and the vineyard and the winery has not made to welcome thousands of runners. So we do know that is the maximum limit, which is working nicely for everybody, for the runners first, but for the wineries and so on. So it's the reason why we do limit that. If we would open the doors, we will have let's say at least minimum 20,000 or 30,000 runners on the start line, but that would be just crazy. No way.
So
we do limit that, and so a crowd of 8,500 runners coming from 50% of overseas, 50% are foreigners. You have last year you had 74 different nationalities, so all over the world is coming, just from the east to the west, from the north to the south. It's just incredible, and people are dressed. The average people are about 42, 43 years old, that's the average, and they just want to enjoy life, to have a good time and so on. So the crowd is just amazing. You will speak with thousands of people you never met before. You will never meet them after that, but they're coming from all over the world. And it's just the atmosphere, just amazing, amazing. So you have to arrive at least 1 hour before just to enjoy that, that time. It's just fantastic. And due to the traffic jams and so on, so, you know, when you have driving your car, you have to take you have to start earlier than usual to be sure to be on time. And for the spectators and for the people who are with you, they can walk. They have some maps on the website. You have some maps, and they can walk from one point to the other one to enjoy the different part of the track. They can also rent a bike. So the bike are not allowed on the track, even if there are some, and we are fighting against that. But you do have a track reserved for the bicycle. So they will be able to go here and there and enjoy different spots, pushing their heroes running hard on the track.
That's awesome. It sounds so good. I can't wait for it. I also heard that there's more medical support for this marathon than any other marathon on planet Earth.
Exactly. We have also, on the top of that, to be sure to welcome everybody nicely and so on, we have about 3,000 volunteers all over the track. to help and welcome all the runners before, during, and after the race. Because on the top of the fact that we are organizing this this race on Saturday, we are, in fact, it's a weekend of different activities to organize. So you have to remove your bibs on the Friday, and on Friday night, you have two dinners. One buffet dinner, dancing dinner at Saint-Estèphe City Hall, about 900 people dancing and so on. And you have also a dinner in a different, in a château in the Médoc area. So this year we will be on the Moulis appellation at Château Mauvezin-Barton, which is owned by the Barton family, very famous. Oh, they are owning some classified groves in Saint-Julien. And the site actually is fantastic, very nice site. So here you have a dinner with 1,500 people having dinner with pasta for entree, pasta for main course, pasta for cheese, and pasta for dessert. You have to be prepared for the big day on Saturday. It's a dancing dinner with fireworks at the end and so on, so it's a nice one. On Saturday, 9:30, you have the start with the French Air Force, which is overflying the start line, and that's nice too. And then during the evening, we have some concert on the riverbank of Pauillac, where the start and all the activities are held, and with a fireworks at 11 p.m. And again, on Sunday, you have a nice walk in the vineyard of Moulis Appellation with a lunch for the people who are reserved and for people who haven't reserved. After this walk of 8 kilometers with some tasting, for sure, again, of Moulis wines, they can enjoy a lunch on a very nice village of Moulis with next on the shade of a church which is going back to the 8th century. It's a very, very Roman, very nice Roman church, and they will enjoy some very nice food from southwest of Bordeaux of France, and before going back home or enjoying some other days in the Bordeaux area. So it's some kind of three days of activities around sports, music, and marathon.
Yeah, and the marathon. Are you going to be running, Vincent? Are you going to run it?
Actually, I'm running marathon, but next to you.
Oh, are you?
My day is starting at 5 a.m. until 2 p.m. 2 a.m. next day.
Yeah.
So it's a long day for me. No. I cannot. I'm running some marathon the other weekend of the year, but that weekend, no. It's impossible for me. Yeah.
So as we end this, I was wondering if you want to promote your wines, the wineries that you and your family own. Where can websites? Where can people find them?
Actually, they can find our wines in country in port of Galéon, which is based in Quebec, and then we do have also importers. Tandem One Section, voilà, in Montreal. So you can, and they do deliver wines all over Canada. So Galéon on one side, which is a very nice one, and Elvinco also in Montreal. They will be able to help you now.
Oh, fantastic. And when this goes up, I'll put all the links for all your websites and all of that. And Vincent, hey, appreciate you taking the time. I'm so excited to be able to take part in this marathon. And yes, I don't think I'll be doing it in under 3.5 hours.
No. Don't be in a hurry. Just enjoy. Enjoy.
Thanks so much, Vincent.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, everyone, for listening to the Matt Talks Wine and Stuff with Interesting People podcast. Remember, you can find me on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, and wherever quality podcasts are sold.
Thanks for listening to the Matt Talks Wine and Stuff with Interesting People podcast. Happy hunting.